You're listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch.
I like the rock music world. My man Adam's rocking out.
Yeah!
You should have just seen what he did like a 1 second before that.
It might be on the live video feed.
Oh, that's right. We have the live video feed here.
Put your kids away for it.
Well,
seriously.
I have no children, so.
Whoever's listening.
My other half.
Yes.
Okay. All right, welcome back to New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch. I'm your host. And we have on the line Gary Benningfield, author of Baseball's Dead of World War II, a roster of professional pit players who died in service. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
How's it going? I know we were back and forth in the email, and I appreciate it so much that you came on, because I know it's, what, 2:30 in the morning?
It's 2:30 in the morning, yep, over here in Scotland, on a cold, snowy morning.
Okay, well, I feel for you because it's about 20 degrees here in New York, so it's cold. A little snowy, but cold also. So, but welcome to the show, and let's start off. Your book, Baseball's Dead of World War II, it roster of professional players who died in service. What was the inspiration for the book?
Well, really, the story of these guys, because there's 127 biographies in this book. There's 127 minor league players that died during World War II, of whom nobody really knows anything about them until I put this book together. So, really, I wanted to get the message across to people that a lot of people connected with baseball gave everything they had for the game during World War II. So that really, I guess, was the inspiration, was to let everybody know about that.
Okay. How long, writing the book with all the research, how long did it take to put the book together, writing it, researching?
I started this project, I guess, 15 years ago, I guess I can go back. And at that time, I had a list of about 20 guys that I knew had died during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That list has grown from 20 to 127 now. So I guess over the 15 years, really trying to contact the families of these people, trying to track down really who they were, find out something about their lives. I guess probably in the last maybe 2-3 years, I've really put everything together. But in all, probably about 15 years putting the whole thing together.
Wow. Okay. Wow. What's one player there that sticks out in your mind that was like, you know, most inspiring to you, or like, wow, you know, you're like, wow, you know, you play baseball.
That's an easy one for me. A guy named Lefty Brewer.
Okay.
He grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, and he was a 20-game winner with St. Augustine in the Florida State League in 1938, threw a no-hitter that year as well.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a pretty exceptional player, but just a really interesting guy as well, quite a sort of hard-nosed type of guy. He was a paratrooper, and he lost his life on D-Day, June 6, 1944, in a big battle in Normandy on that day.
Yeah.
I have been in contact with his brother for many years now.
Okay.
And I guess really Lefty is, I've dedicated the book to Lefty because to me he really epitomizes what it was all about. He was a tremendous ball player who really did have a good chance of playing with the Washington Senators.
Oh, okay.
He was called up with them a couple of times, never actually got into a game, but he was with them sort of the tail end of the season for 1939 and 1940, I think it was. So he really had a good chance. And then, of course, the war came along, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. I think when you look back, I mean, we don't realize how many ball players actually fought in the war, you know, in the wars. I mean, you know,
it was an amazing amount. I mean, 500 major leaguers served during World War II. Over 4,000 minor leaguers served during World War II. So that's, you know, a lot of people gave up a lot of years because most of them went into the service around about sort of 1942. So they really missed 42, 43, 44, 45. You're looking at maybe 4 or 5 years that they missed and then to come back and sort of try and restart their career after that amount of time out of the game must have been really tough for them.
The research itself, I mean, you must have reached out to almost every baseball team out there.
I've got to be honest, the teams really don't have any information on these guys.
That really was a
dead end for me, trying the teams. Baseball just hasn't kept track of these guys at all. And that really is one of my problems, is the fact that the Major League Baseball doesn't even know these people. I wish they did. So really my research was really with trying to track down families, going to libraries, contacting sort of local libraries where I knew these guys grew up, and just seeing what we could find and going through newspapers and that sort of thing, really.
Yeah. Well, you've originally, before we started emailing each other, you sent out an email saying, to all interested writers, if you want to, post something on your website or write it, a story about this book that I wrote, but you put all the information. What struck me was I served 8 years and I was in military police, and
really?
I served 8 years in the Navy, and that with my radio show, I was like, wow, I don't think we realize, even with 9/11 and now, the biggest thing post 9/11 with the wars and all, was, even though he wasn't a baseball player, was Pat Tillman.
That
was something that was, that sort of hit home, and that
one. Yeah, they're much more recent.
And then when I saw that your email come out, I'm like, wow, this would be great to just have them come on and talk about, because we forget baseball is a game, but we forget what a lot of players did for the countries that they're from, and I think we take that for granted.
I agree with you. So, I mean, we really do. We forget. I mean, we forget the 127 guys that sacrificed their life, but there were also guys that suffered serious injuries that just meant they could never play again. But some guys that suffered serious injuries and still managed to play. I mean, Lou Brissy is somebody who comes to mind, who was so badly wounded in Italy, had to wear a leg brace, but still came back and managed to play a few years.
Yeah. When research, like what the list, the players and that served and those who died in World War II, how did you get their names together? Like, how did you go? Did you go library research? Did word of mouth, just talking, or?
I've had a website for quite some time, which has really been dedicated to baseball during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I've kind of tried to reach out to people and say, if you know anything about anybody that died during the war, let me know about it, and let's see what we can do. There was always a list of about 20 names. That was a starting point that I had.
Yeah.
And that you can find in quite a few sort of books on the subject on World War II baseball. There are a few books around, and they have a list of about 20 names in them. Beyond that, it was really looking through newspapers, lots of newspapers.
Wow.
from the whole of the United States. I mean,
yeah.
You've got a big country over there.
Yeah. I know. And it's a shame what's happening with newspapers now. I'm sure in Scotland, too, or even over there in Europe, that a lot of newspapers are suffering. So, that's beside, that's besides the point. I mean, we even see now, Ted Williams, people don't realize how, he was successful to, he was able to play after the war, but he served for quite a long time, too.
As a Marine Corps pilot, he served in both World War II and the Korean War.
Yeah.
And had a pretty nasty crash in the Korean War that really could have ended his life.
Yeah.
He served two wars and yet still came up with the numbers that he did, which is pretty impressive.
You have that Hank Greenberg's and all the,
Hank Greenberg was one of the first to go into service in 1941. He went in.
Yeah.
Bob Feller, of course, is another one you've got to look at. He enlisted in the Navy immediately after Pearl Harbor, and he served right through the war. So he lost all of 42, 43, 44, and 45.
Yeah, I even know Joe DiMaggio served, and he played on the the military baseball team they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was out in Hawaii. He played with the 7th Air Force team out in Hawaii. Mm. They still served a purpose. A lot of baseball players did get to play baseball during the war.
Mm.
And you can look at that as sort of, well, you know, is that contributing to the war? But I think it was, because those games, you know, were good for the troops to watch. You know, mm-hmm. it was something to take their mind off of the war for a little while if they could watch a game of baseball with some of the players that they recognize and some of their heroes. Mm. So I think it did serve a purpose.
Yeah. Your interest, being, is it baseball fan or also history?
I managed to combine my two interests in life, I guess, with this. Baseball, I was lucky. Most people over here grew up with soccer, cricket, rugby. I grew up with baseball. That was my life. So,
yeah.
So I was lucky in that sense. But I've also got a huge fascination with World War II, and what I managed to do here was just combine my two interests.
Yeah. Let me ask you, World Baseball Classic, what do you feel about that? Not to get off the subject, but, you know.
I've actually followed it a lot the last couple of times.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. It's good to see that the other countries are getting a chance to show what they can do. There is some reasonable baseball being played outside of the United States. I think it's a good idea. I quite like it, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
How about yourself?
I do like it. The thing is, in America, the problem we have with it, and a lot of the team owners have, is that when they do the World Baseball Classic, a lot of the team owners feel it interferes with the spring training, or the player's going to get hurt, you know, and they you're traveling all over, you know, from, you're either going from Japan to Puerto Rico, and to a lot of the team owners, they're not too fond of it. I mean, and I think...
I think the other problem they had as well with that was that some of the countries were actually sort of in mid-season when it happened.
Mm.
So maybe those players were really at their peak that year.
Yeah.
So you had a bit of a mixture, but I think the concept is good.
Yeah. Now, going back to your book, you do a lot of speaking engagements on it. You go around the circuit and talk about it a lot, promote it.
No, it's not easy. No one wants to listen to me in this country.
Oh, really? In Scotland, you mean?
Baseball is here, but it's kind of underground. It's been here for many, many years, but it's kind of below the surface. You know, baseball's not a really popular game over here.
Yeah.
It's very much soccer, followed by rugby, cricket, that sort of thing. So I don't get too many speaking engagements over here, but I did get the opportunity to go to New Orleans about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the National World War II Museum in New Orleans had a big event all about baseball during World War II, and that was a tremendous opportunity for me to talk about baseball, but also to meet guys like Bob Feller, Lou Brissy, real heroes of the game, you know, people that were actually there that could really tell me what it was like.
Yeah. Look, does Scotland, I know baseball's on, I guess, underground. Do they have any type of organized or semi-pro baseball team over there, or baseball teams?
There is. I mean, it's certainly not so much in Scotland. There is some baseball here in Scotland, but I moved up here about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
But I actually lived in England for most of my life.
Okay.
And down there, there's pretty well organized leagues.
Yeah.
I played in a team for about 20 years. And we used to bring college players over during the summer. We'd have players coming in from Cornell, Rutgers.
Okay.
Yale.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we had some pretty decent players on our teams as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I guess, you know, I mean, well, that's what maybe with the World Baseball Classic, too. You know, maybe they could get to some of those Scotland or, you know, Norway, you know, get you guys.
It would be good to see a Scottish team in that. Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was funny when you say you were from Scotland. I'm like, oh, I feel so bad. It's like, what time is it over there right now?
It's about 3:15, I guess.
Oh, yep. Wow. And now, I mean, of course, it's snowing there, obviously, right?
we've had a lot of snow the last few days, and we've had some pretty cold weather. But I hear you've got the same over there as well. So.
Yeah, we dug out about a couple of weeks ago, and now we had a couple of snowstorms here and there, and it's pretty cold. Unusual for what we, what we get usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it comes at a time, because just this past week we had the Hall of Fame came out, the voting, yep. And they voted Andre Dawson. Let me get your feeling. I'm sure you probably know about Roberto Alomar, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling with Roberto Alomar not getting into the Hall of Fame?
If you're going to look at numbers only, then he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I listened to the show, the earlier part of the show, and Pete Rose should be there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're looking at numbers.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at their part in the game, it gets a little different then, doesn't it, really? They both did things that they shouldn't have done.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, as far as I know, Pete Rose is still... He was banned for life, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was banned for life by A-Ball or Giamatti, who was the baseball commissioner. For supposedly, he was betting on the Reds while he was manager, so...
Yeah.
You know, what they did was A-Ball or Giamatti said, well, you have to get... You know, I'm banning you for life.
Yeah, and I think, if players... or bring a level of disgrace to the game, then it may be difficult for them to be elected into such things as the Hall of Fame. It's a difficult area.
No, it definitely is. I mean, a lot of the writers, especially we have one writer here who writes for MLB.com, Marty Noble.
Mm-hmm.
He won an MLB Network this past week, and he pretty much... said that he held Roberto Alomar. He didn't vote for him because of the whole spitting incident, and that he just felt that, like, you know, that was his punishment. He had to punish him for it.
That was a one-off situation.
Yeah.
The guy had a tremendous career outside of that one-off situation.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if you can punish him for that one thing. It wasn't a good thing. I'm sure if he had the opportunity to go back, he wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, you look at it and you're like, wow. But, as they say, sometimes what you did in the past... bites you.
It does. It catches up.
Yeah, it catches up. But all right. So let me. Are you with your book now? Are you looking any type of sequel? You're writing any new material? For the future.
At the moment, I'm just getting over having done this one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm recovering from the trauma of putting this book together. I would like to really put it. There have been a few books written about baseball during World War II,
mm-hmm.
And they've all been good in their own way. But I would really like to put together the ultimate book that really covers everything.
Yeah.
A lot of them focus sort of on the home front and what happened as far as Major League Baseball was concerned during the war, and haven't looked too much at what these guys were doing overseas while they were serving with the Army, the Army Air Force, or the Navy, or the Marine Corps. So I really would like to put together sort of the book that really captures everything. But it's going to be a big book. it's going to be a long project.
Would you also put in maybe guys that served but didn't die also?
But there are some incredible stories of bravery and things, of real heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing needs to be remembered. I have so much respect for these guys that lost their lives. But at the same time, I have a lot of respect for these guys that were real heroes, sort of under fire, and those stories need to be told as well. And at the moment, they're spread around on my website and the blog that I operate.
Yeah.
So you can get them there, but I'd love to put them together in a book. I think that would be great.
Yeah, every baseball writer or author I have on says that after they finish writing a major book that they like need some like recovery time.
it's recovery time is needed. Yeah, definitely. But I think my wife needs some time with me as well. She hasn't really seen much of me recently.
Yeah, you're in your little office there with the door locked, just pounding away. And
yeah, you just sort of hide yourself away to get something like this done.
Yeah. I've been looking at your website too, and I saw you posted that you were coming on a show and all that, and I like what you did with your website, and you have that video up in the right hand corner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like the feel of it, of what you did with that. I mean.
Well, I like the idea of actually seeing something, videos, seeing it for real. It's great to write about things, but to actually see footage of it, see it actually happening, I think is wonderful. I mean, a movie project based around World War II baseball would be tremendous. I would love something to happen like that. I really would.
Yeah.
There is a lot of footage out there. It's just a matter of finding it. You know, I've got bits and pieces that I've come up with, but to put it all together as a documentary would be fantastic.
Yeah. And I also saw your blog. You pretty much you keep that up to date.
Yeah, that's
quite
real. Every day there's something new. There are so many stories, Joe. So many stories to be told.
That I felt that the
website has got a lot of them there, but they're kind of buried in the website. So the blog really was a daily entry where, look, here's a story of this guy who maybe was wounded during the war, or was just a hero, or perhaps he just played baseball during the war, but it was still a good morale booster for the troops. And I just like every day there's a new story for you.
Speaking of, I mean, with the war going on, did you reach out to, or did any of the troops reach out to you that are fighting over in Iraq or Afghanistan, from any military branch in any country? Did anybody reach out to you and say, wow, I saw your book, I like to read it or whatever?
To be honest, I haven't heard from any really. The only people I have heard from is a team, a military team called the U.S. Military All-Stars.
Okay.
And that's a team that travels around the states playing exhibition games, and they're made up of active servicemen.
Oh, okay.
Fabulous setup. They really have a great team, great players, great attitude to the game and everything.
Mm.
Playing camouflage uniforms that look fantastic.
Wow.
I've had quite a lot of contact with them. They're really sort of keeping the spirit of things alive right now, really, keeping sort of the whole spirit of wartime baseball alive through what they do.
Oh, okay, wow. We have, probably 2 minutes. This half hour went pretty quick, so we have 2 minutes left. All right. Give your website and your blog, the name of your book, and where people can get it. Obviously, I know we can get it at Amazon, whatever, but just give it out.
Okay, no problem. The website is baseballinwartime.com.
Okay.
The blog is baseballinwartime.blogspot.com. And the book is published by McFarland over in the U.S. And it's called Baseball's Dead of World War II, and it's subtitled A Roster of Professional Players Who Died in Service. Basically consists of 127 biographies of players who died. Along with an overview of baseball during the war.
Yeah.
You can get that from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it direct from McFarland. You can order it from any bookshop.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming on. I know you're a scholar.
It's a pleasure to come on, really.
It's such an inspiration, and I appreciate what you've done. What I'm going to do is we definitely have to keep in touch. Let me know what's going on, if you have any, anything new coming up. And what I'd like to do in the future is maybe I'll have you, we'll have you come back on and update. If you have any good stories, you let me know, and we could get it out there and, give something back to the troops who give us our freedom anywhere we live, any country. But, Gary, I appreciate it. You're a trooper, and I appreciate you staying up. And
no problem. It's been a pleasure. It really has.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. That was Gary Benningfield, author of Baseball's Dead in World War II, a roster of professional players who died in service. There you go, Adam. Glasgow, Scotland, not Ireland.
Right. Glasgow is in Scotland.
Yeah, as you said. We'll have to rewind the tape later on.
Yes, yes. Oh, I got one more. One more baseball thing.
Wait, I hear music. Outro music. Go ahead.
Me too. I know, because I'm playing it. I'm sorry. I lost it.
You lost it?
Oh.
Go ahead.
Nope. Lost it.
I think you're playing around with me.
No, I really lost it. It's a word for a bisexual.
Oh, come on. Stop. This is a baseball, I know,
but it's a baseball term.
Please, I lost a lot of things. I lost the phone number, the Bruce Marcus.
Switch hitter. I'm sorry. Switch hitter.
Goodbye. That's it for me at Baseball Live. We'll see you next month. Burning down our names, and it won't take too long. Cause words all burn the same. And who are you gonna blame? Now we know.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.